going to discuss Egyptian-Israeli talks at news conference as Weizmann returns home in optimistic mood. Carter heading west from Chicago for more campaigning. Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. The emphasis in the peace treaty talks between Egypt and Israel shifts back to Washington today after talks in New York between Secretary of State Vance and Israeli Prime Minister Begin and an unexpected meeting between Begin and President Carter. Secretary Vance holds a news conference this morning at the State Department, and CBS News diplomatic correspondent Marvin Kalb takes an advance look.
The focus may well be on his intensive efforts to negotiate a peace treaty between Egypt and Israel. He conferred yesterday with Prime Minister Begin in New York, and they made good progress. Enough for Begin to send his defense minister, Azer Weizmann, back to Israel to report to the cabinet and gain its approval for any changes Begin might have acceded to. That the president and Begin met briefly confirmed the impression that the negotiation was proceeding well. But there are still problems, one of them relating to money. The Israelis are working on the assumption that the U.S. will end up footing the bill for their pullback from the Sinai. The administration is not happy about that, but sees no real alternative. The U.S. has become Israel's main supporter in recent years, just as Saudi Arabia has helped Egypt. Someone is going to have to pay for peace in the Middle East, and as one official here put it, if the U.S. is going to be a full partner in these talks, the title obviously doesn't come cheap. Marvin Kalb, CBS News, the State Department.
Defense Minister Weizmann returned home this morning saying that agreement on a peace treaty may be only days away. Dan Raviv reports from Tel Aviv.
Weizmann was optimistic as he returned home to speak to the cabinet, which will decide the fate of the treaty, or at least of its latest draft. The day after tomorrow, it will debate and vote to approve or reject the compromises reached in Washington. Weizmann said he did not know if this second time he'd be briefing the cabinet during the talks would be the last time before the treaty is initialed or signed.
I'll be able to answer this after the Sunday cabinet meeting. I hope so. I can't be definite about it, but if need be, to shuttle there and back. And if I have to do that, I wouldn't mind doing it if this brings a favorable conclusion.
If the cabinet is not satisfied this time, Weizmann may fly the route between Washington and Tel Aviv quite a few times. Referring to the famous Kissinger shuttle diplomacy, Weizmann said, "Just call me Henry." Dan Raviv for CBS News, Tel Aviv.
Leaders of Arab countries meeting in Baghdad are still trying to work out a unified policy toward Anwar Sadat. And Bob McNamara has details.
The Arab summit is now well into its first full day after an opening night that heard Iraq's hardline President Bakar condemn Egypt's President Sadat for trying to make peace with Israel. This morning, several Arab heads of state prayed in a mosque near the presidential palace. Friday is the Muslim Sabbath. The only Arab state not represented here, of course, is Egypt. And today, the Arab kings, princes, presidents, and prime ministers who sit around the summit bargaining table will try to agree on whether to punish President Sadat for his peace moves or whether to make an 11th-hour attempt to try and talk Sadat out of signing a peace treaty. There is talk here that a committee of heads of state might be dispatched to Cairo to meet with Sadat. And there's even speculation that Sadat, who likes to stun and surprise his fellow Arabs, might even want to come here to explain himself. But for the time being, the talk is thick, because facts about what's happening behind the closed doors of the summit are thin. Bob McNamara, CBS News, Baghdad.
Conference sources say the Arab leaders have approved an $11 billion fund to counter the Israeli-Egyptian peace plan. That's $2 billion more than was proposed by Iraq. Unofficial reports from Salisbury say 10 people were killed, 30 wounded, in yesterday's Rhodesian air raid on a black guerrilla camp in neighboring Zambia. Demands are being heard in that country for retaliation against Rhodesia. Zambian President Kenneth Kaunda and guerrilla leader Joshua Nkomo are reported under rising pressure to strike back.
Every month, it seems, the airlines have a better deal for the discount traveler. But what if your schedule won't let you fly standby or book 30 days in advance? What if you're a business traveler who pays the full economy fare? Well, right now, Pan Am is introducing Clipper Class. And very simply, we're giving you upgraded service for the same full economy ticket you've been buying. If you fly Clipper Class, you'll get special seating in a full fare section, special check-in attention, use of the first-class lounge in selected airports, free wine and beverages, free headsets, and a special choice of entrees with meals, all for the full economy fare. Have your travel agent book you on Pan Am's Clipper Class. Pan Am, America's airline to the world.
Clipper Class is being offered on Pan Am 747 transatlantic flights and selected trans-Pacific flights, including their New York to Tokyo nonstop. See your travel agent or transportation department for details. 5 after 8.
Only 4 days to go now before the midterm elections, and President Carter is stumping hard and fast for Democratic candidates. Mr. Carter spent the night in Chicago at the home of Mayor Michael Bolandek. This morning, as we hear from Jed Duval, he's off again, heading west.
It's an early start for the Carter campaign this morning, for there is a long day ahead. Portland, Oregon, Sacramento, California, Duluth, Minnesota, and then in the middle of the night, back to Washington. Here and there, the Carter message is the same. Please vote on Tuesday. The president delivered the message at a rally near Chicago last night.
I would like for you to promise me that between now and Tuesday, that each one of you will contact at least 50 other people and get a promise from them that they will go to the polls Tuesday and vote, preferably for the Democratic ticket, but at least vote. Everyone that will think about it a while, don't lie to your own president.
The president's main political theme on this trip: inflation is bad, but we need Democrats, congressmen, senators, governors to help us fight it. If you care, Jimmy Carter tells these audiences, stick with me. Jed Duval, CBS News, Chicago.
The Senate Banking Committee is holding hearings today on Mr. Carter's anti-inflation program, and it's taking testimony from the man in charge of the program, Alfred Kahn. The committee also plans to question Barry Bosworth, director of the Council on Wage and Price Stability, Charles Schulz, the president's chief economic advisor, and representatives of big labor and big business.
Hollywood Square circles in for laughs tonight on Channel 7 at 7:30. David Doyle and Rich Little join host Peter Marshall and Paul Lynde for a game of tic-tac-toe that's anything but square. That's Hollywood Square, 7:30 tonight on Channel 7.
Mass Transit, Long Island Railroad 735 from Huntington is a quarter of an hour late. The 629 from Yamhack is losing ground here. It is now 1 hour behind with an engine problem, and the 516 from Montauk is 15 minutes late. Great weather for the weekend. Bob Harris says sunny and mild in the 60s today. Partly sunny, breezy, and 58 to 62 Saturday. Varying clouds and sun, and about 64 degrees on Sunday. This morning in New York at the Weather Center at WCBS, 55 degrees, 8 past 8.
A prolonged frontier dispute between China and Vietnam may have led to border hostilities. Vietnam, at least, says so, alleging the Chinese forces invaded Vietnamese territory and claiming that there was a serious clash at the frontier. But CBS News correspondent Nelson Benton reports from Peking that Chinese foreign ministry spokesmen have denied Hanoi's charges. More about this from Peter Collins in Hong Kong.
The Chinese denial of Vietnam's claims comes 24 hours after Radio Hanoi broadcast the most serious charges yet made against China in the bitter dispute between the two. Hanoi says many Vietnamese militiamen were killed by Chinese intruders Wednesday, and it claims China has nearly 100,000 soldiers and advisors in Cambodia. Well-informed Western sources here in Hong Kong are skeptical of Vietnam's reports of heavy fighting with China, and they point out that Hanoi's top leaders, Communist Party Chief Lai Zuan and Prime Minister Pham Van Dong, are in Moscow seeking Soviet assistance in their struggle not only with China, but also the Chinese-backed regime in Cambodia. But the sources do confirm a sharp buildup of Chinese advisors in Cambodia, perhaps as many as 20 or 30,000. And they continue to predict a major Vietnamese military move against Cambodia, especially if the Soviet Union would agree to keep China at bay. Peter Collins, CBS News, Hong Kong.
In an unrelated border dispute, invading forces from Uganda are still holding a piece of Tanzanian territory west of Lake Victoria. Tanzanian President Julius Nyerere promises that he'll throw them out. Ugandan President Idi Amin has humorously proposed that the whole thing be settled by a boxing match between Nyerere and himself. Amin says he would fight with one hand tied behind his back, and he adds that Muhammad Ali could be the referee.
There are two events of note this month, Election Day and Veterans Day. In observing them, we add an event of our own. Now, through Saturday, November 11th, Barney's is offering special savings in our America House and International House. For example, from our Oak Room, Delton Sport Coats, regularly $215 to $225. Barney's price, $168. From our Madison Room, Jason Gibbs Overcoats in Fine Velours, value $175. Barney's price, $138. From our English Room, Burberry's and Aquascutum Suits, value $275 to $315. Barney's price, $228. From our New Yorker Room, Hamilton Park Suits, value $220 to $235, Barney's price, $168. You can take advantage of these savings and many more now through Saturday, November 11th at Barney's. 7th Avenue and 17th Street, free parking, free alterations, open 9 till 9:30.
At WCBS, 11 past 8.
This is a national holiday in Japan. The Tokyo money markets are closed, so there was no trading there today in the dollar. But there has been plenty of trading in Western Europe, and Tom Fenton reports from Paris that the dollar has been doing well.
The dollar held on to its spectacular rise of the past few days and even tacked on small additional gains against major European currencies. Gold, a favorite haven for speculators, continued to fall. Overall, it has been a highly favorable day in Europe for the dollar. Government reactions to the Carter administration measures to support the dollar continue to be positive, but a note of caution has begun to appear in comments from currency traders. Already, some are predicting that a new assault will be mounted against the dollar as the market tests the resolve of the Carter administration to intervene massively, if necessary, in international money markets. Some traders feel the moment of truth could come as early as next week and probably no later than mid-December. Tom Fenton, CBS News, Paris.
The strike-bound New York Times and the Daily News this morning announced tentative agreement on a new contract with the drivers' union. The union's president, Douglas LaChance, says its wage scale committee has unanimously approved the contract, with both sides in accord on the central issue, the union's financially troubled welfare fund. LaChance says they arranged to make the fund solvent throughout the life of the proposed contract. The pact will go to the union's executive board tonight, and if the executive board approves it, then LaChance says the union will waive a ratification vote by the union's rank and file. The Times and the Daily News reached tentative agreement earlier this week with the Pressman's Union. They are still negotiating with other unions, but both papers say that they still hope to resume publication day after tomorrow on Sunday.
When I was in college, the only time I saw the inside of a bank was to cash a check from home. I've seen a lot of paydays and a lot of banks since then. But now I've opened my own business and I'm starting to make it big. Now it's time for the Chase Advantage. Look, I do everything I can for my clients. At Chase, I know they do everything they can for my banking. Who else gives me a savings center packed with new ideas to help make the most of my savings? And that new Advantage credit is a fabulous idea.
When you need more bank than ever before, it's time for the Chase Advantage. It's time you had an expert savings advisor working to show you better ways to save. Time to qualify for Advantage Credit. For the freedom to write your own loans and the power of up to $15,000 of personal credit, it's time for a world-class bank directed to your advantage by your Chase banker. When you need more bank than ever before,
I definitely do, and it is definitely time.
It's time to give yourself the Chase Advantage. Member FDIC.
14 past 8 at News Radio 88 WCBS on Friday morning, the third day of November, 57 degrees, heading up into the 60s again, and a lot of sunshine. Good morning, I'm Jim Donnelly.
Good morning, I'm Lou Adler. Among the stories we're watching, after the Supreme Court handed down its ruling in the Bakke reverse discrimination case, law professors at Rutgers University started looking over the minority admissions program at their school.
I'm Gary Moore. It's exactly 7:30. Headline stories on News 88 at half past the hour. The Soviet Union has called on the United States to release two spies. Arab leaders have discussed a $5 billion plan to wean Egypt away from signing a treaty with Israel. Also coming up during this half hour, President Carter has turned to Camp David for rest after a lot of campaigning. Black mayors have met for their fourth annual conference. We'll get a report on what happened from Jim McCarthy in our Washington Bureau. Skylab's been sent into special maneuvers in order to prolong its life. Also coming up in the next hour or so.
New wines are coming from new export areas in Italy. I'm Rob Sunday with news from the Grapevine coming up in a few minutes.
In sports, the Knicks and the Nets both lost last night. Elaine Rose will be along with consumer details on prices of food we can expect. We'll also keep tabs on the weather for you for the weekend. It's hazy and cloudy, kind of ugly. 52 degrees, 11 Celsius right now. It'll be a cloudy day, high 55 to 60 degrees this afternoon. The Soviet Union has charged that last month's conviction of two Soviet citizens on spy charges was a premeditated provocation by the U.S. TASS says the Kremlin has protested and has asked Washington to close the case and let the two men go home. The protest was delivered in Washington by the Soviet embassy and was reported by the TASS news agency, which quotes the Kremlin as saying the case was fabricated. The Soviets say the case, in its words, cannot be assessed in any other way but as a deliberate step with the purpose of damaging relations between the Soviet Union and the United States. The two Russians were employees of the United Nations and were convicted in Newark, New Jersey of trying to buy classified defense information from an undercover agent. Arab leaders meeting in Baghdad are trying to negotiate a compromise over an Iraqi proposal to, as it is put, buy back Egypt with an offer of $5 billion for an agreement not to sign a separate peace treaty with Israel. The proposal is the biggest surprise of the Arab summit in the 3 days since it started because it is Iraq that made it. Observers see this as the latest of several recent signs that Iraq, always a sideline militant in the Arab camp, may be shifting its strategy to cooperation rather than confrontation with its fellow Arab states. The summit, grouping both Arab moderates such as Saudi Arabia and hardliners like Syria and the Palestine Liberation Organization, has already agreed in principle to condemn the Camp David peace accords and to establish a fund to work against them. However, there is disunity among the summiteers as to how to go about doing just that. With an Israeli-Egyptian peace treaty nearing completion, Secretary of State Cyrus Vance says groundwork is being laid for implementation of Camp David provisions calling for Palestinian autonomy on the West Bank. Vance says progress on the sensitive West Bank issue can be made even without participation by Jordan, which controlled the area until the 1967 Arab-Israeli War. Although Vance says the U.S. is in regular contact with King Hussein of Jordan on this subject, he says Egypt and Israel can begin their discussions without Jordan's participation by designating Palestinian representatives as part of the Egyptian delegation. Palestinian Arabs living on the West Bank generally view the plan for Palestinian autonomy with considerable skepticism, but Vance says he believes there is a real possibility they'll be more and more interested in participation as the process moves forward. President Carter wound up his last political swing of the current campaign last night. He's now at Camp David for an extended weekend with his family. While stumping for Democratic candidates in three states yesterday, Mr. Carter said he expects Democrats will be pleased with the results of Tuesday's elections, but he declined to discuss the number of seats he believes his party will gain. Admitting he is a bit tired after visiting six states in the past 2 days, Mr. Carter arrived at Andrews Air Force Base near Washington shortly after midnight and promptly boarded a helicopter for Camp David. Aides say the president will return to the White House on Tuesday to watch the election returns. President Carter says he doesn't foresee a recession despite such forecasts by some economists, the latest on the attempt to strengthen the economy from Roger Gittins.
The Carter administration is ready to get tough with businesses that ignore the president's voluntary wage price guidelines. The Office of Management and Budget intends to publish the names of the companies that push their prices up beyond the ceiling. At the same time, the president's chief inflation fighter, Alfred Kahn, is aiming some blunt words toward labor. He had this comment about AFL-CIO President George Meany at a Senate Banking Committee hearing.
I mean, it is just ludicrous to hear George Meany talk about the inequitability of this painstakingly designed program when he himself was railing against the inequitability of mandatory wage and price controls just a few years ago.
Kahn says that without complete cooperation, the plan will flop. Roger Gittins, Capitol Hill.
The dollar is on the way to greener pastures, at least according to this report from Jay Dyer.
This week has seen a change in fortune for the dollar that has moved it from around 210 to the pound to just over 198 by the end of the week, a change paralleled all across Europe. The reason for the turnaround in the value of the American currency, which has been steadily falling for some time now, was the announcement of his latest economic package by President Carter. This came within an hour of the close for most European markets Wednesday, and the effect was electric. In Frankfurt, the greenback climbed back nearly 10% in that 1 hour. The gains have been quieter since then, but the dollar's position has strengthened immeasurably in the last 2 days, and dealers now expect it to remain stable for the time being at least. Jay Dyer, London.
25 minutes before 8 o'clock at News Radio 88.
Ronald Galt, special advisor to Mayor Koch for urban policy, comments on his reasons for accepting that appointment.
I decided that this was an opportunity for me to affect urban policy
and one of the most exciting cities, not only in this country, but in the world.
Ronald Galt, questioned on Access, tonight at 10:30, right here on WCBS News Radio 88.
Now this political message.
Well, what's happening is that people are living in a constant state of fear. They're afraid to go out at night. They live behind locked doors. They're saying, I've been the victim, and here I am being victimized again, whether it's through the court system, through the fact that criminals are being let out, whether it's because there's inadequate punishment.
You're listening to Geraldine Ferraro. She's a wife, a mother, a former New York City school teacher, a lawyer, and a former bureau chief in the Queens District Attorney's Office.
It's time we get tough. It's time we tell the criminal that we are not going to allow him to continue in this way by mandatory indefinite sentencing, by treating juveniles as adult offenders, and by restoring the death penalty. And by these methods, perhaps we will deter, and if we don't deter, then we certainly will punish.
Geraldine Ferraro, Democrat for Congress. She's supported by Ed Koch, Pat Moynihan, and Mario Biaggi. Because after all, doesn't the working family deserve a break? Paid for by the Ferraro for Congress Committee.